Mark Smith was at the launch of the very first edition of Chat Around. Carolyn finds out about the early days of Chat Around and Mark's other roles.
Mark, you're going to be a really familiar voice to our listeners, I think, and we're really lucky at Chat Around to have a volunteer that was around for the first edition. Now we're on our 100th.
I know, it's amazing, isn't it? I can't believe how quickly the time has gone.
Can you remember some of your early interviews?
Yes, yeah. I've been trying to raid my memory bank and trying to check through some of my records. I think one interview that stands out for Chat Around was the interview with Brian Ayres, who some of you may have known as being the Norfolk County archaeologist. And Brian had been on lots of travels to different parts of the world. And so over the time I've been interviewing for Chat Around, it's been really interesting to hear not only about Brian's stories of travel, but I also remember talking to a petty officer who served on a royal yacht. So that was another interesting interview. So, you know, it's been fascinating to hear so many different interviews and to meet so many different people.
How did you go about finding your interviews then?
Well, going back to the late 1990s, at the time, Chatterbox had some funding from the lottery. And as part of our funding agreement from the lottery, we formed a committee. And every so often, probably every couple of months, we would meet at Peterson House and we would literally have a brainstorming session. So as well as providing feedback on Chatterbox, we would also come up with various different ideas for the Chat Around magazine. And at the time, the editor there, Neris Griffiths, kept a list of interviews and possible people we could speak to. And there literally was a small group of us that just came up with different ideas. So it could be someone who's been away on an interesting holiday, someone who had did a little bit of an unusual job, or some event that was happening in the local community. So it was always quite wide and varied.
That brings me on to wonder how Chat Around was thought about as a concept originally.
Well, I think it was really as an extension to Chatterbox. This was at the time before we had the Let's Talk and the EDP Norfolk magazines. They were sort of still in their very early development stages. And I think it was felt that by having a magazine, it would give volunteers such as myself an opportunity to find out a bit more about what's going on in the local community, not only in Norwich, but throughout the county. And it gave people opportunity to hear interviews with other people, which they wouldn't have necessarily have had as part of the traditional evening news articles from Chatterbox. And also because we had our own premises now at Peterson House in King Street, it meant that there was a recording studio where we could interview people. And obviously with portable cassette tape recorders, as they were some 25 years ago, it was quite easy with a microphone and a tape recorder to go out and interview people and put a magazine together. And I think also nationally, other talking newspapers had done similar things. So we were kind of also following a different trend in the talking newspaper world.
And you mentioned the cassette recorders. You must have seen many different evolutions of recording and technology.
Oh, absolutely, yes. I mean, as listeners will remember, Chatterbox was only recorded on cassette tape. And when we started recording Chat Around, it only went out on cassette tape. So I was used to using an external microphone that I plugged into a cassette recorder. And then over a period of time, we then started to move on to mini disc, which helped with the quality of the recordings. And then the mini discs were transferred onto a master cassette tape, mm-hmm. which took quite a bit of editing and a little bit of fiddling about in the studios. But then probably it must be about maybe 12, possibly more years ago, Chatterbox then started to move onto USB memory sticks. And the USB memory sticks meant that we could then use digital technology. So we then moved on from mini disc onto the digital Tascam voice recorder devices, which literally meant that a file could be recorded and then emailed into the studio. It also meant that you could edit it a lot easier. So there was literally no cutting and splicing of tape anymore. And then obviously during the COVID pandemic, when we were still trying to get Chatterround out, because with the COVID restrictions, we couldn't go out and meet people face to face. We then decided to undertake interviews over Zoom. So during the second lockdown, I think I literally sat in my lounge at home interviewing some firefighters at Great Yarmouth Watch. I think it was the Green Watch that were on duty one evening. So I literally sat with my digital voice recorder next to my laptop interviewing firefighters over Zoom, which was a very strange experience.
I was going to say, I've never interviewed anybody over Zoom. How did you find that in comparison with meeting them face to face?
Very strange. It felt a bit odd. Obviously, there are reasons why we had to do it that way, to keep everyone safe. And it was a necessity to adapt during the pandemic. It's more difficult to connect with people, I think, Carolyn. Certainly, you don't get that kind of connectivity. And it's more difficult for an interview to flow. And because you're not in someone's place of work or in their natural surroundings, it's more difficult to pick up on things. So you have to do a bit more homework, and it doesn't tend to flow quite so well. But it was a way of ensuring that we could keep Chatterround continuing.
And what did the firefighters make of it?
Well, it was quite strange. I mean, they were obviously in their own little office around their laptop. So it was a bit difficult to always kind of get that flow of interview with them. But it kind of worked out quite well. And obviously because we couldn't use any body language or any gestures, we had to kind of make sure that we were referring to people by names and asking questions directed at each individual person. So it's just a case of a different technique, really. But it's surprising how quickly you kind of pick up on getting used to it. And I've been used to using Zoom quite a lot at work for staff meetings and also for various things socially outside of work, things like my church services. So I'd kind of got used to using Zoom, and it's quite accessible with a screen reader. So it's something you adapted to over time.
I didn't do any interviews during lockdown, but immediately the first lockdown came to an end, I was struck how generous people were to and their ability to adapt with face masks and social distancing.
Did you find that? Yes. I think people wanted to sort of get out and live as normal life as they possibly could. So we all kind of got used to social distancing and face masks and hand sanitizing. But it was still a little bit of, I think, a slightly unsettling experience. And it did take a while to get that your confidence and get the new routine, I think it was, wasn't it? And you had to kind of think in a different way. I can often remember thinking, you know, I've got my phone, have I got my wallet, I've got my house keys, or have I got a face mask? You know, so it was that extra sort of essential things that you had to make sure you had in your bag or in your pocket.
Yes. Now, I think my observation from your interviews now you've returned, you very much have your finger on the pulse of what's going on locally. And that forms, is that a conscious decision to choose your interviews that way, or is it just how it pans out?
Well, I keep a close listen out to the local news, and obviously with the magazines that Chatterbox records, such as the EDP magazine, the Citizen magazine, and Let's Talk, you pick up on what's happening in the news and different events that are being organised or different projects that the local authorities are running. So I always try to keep interviews that are relevant to visually impaired people living in and around the Norwich and greater area. It's really trying to pick up on things that you think are going to be of interest to people and what's going to affect people's lives. So recently I interviewed Mike Stonard from Norwich City Council about a big project they've got on the Eastern Development site, on the old Carrow Works site, just down off Brackendale in Norwich. And obviously that's a very big project that's going to be ongoing for the next 10 years or so. So it's really trying to sort of help to let people know a little bit what's going on in the local community, different events that are coming up, or trying to find people that have got an interesting story to tell. You know, so trying to find someone who's been on a holiday to an unusual place, or someone who's got a different type of job. You know, unfortunately, the remit is quite wide for Chat Around, so we've got quite a good scope in which we can, you know, have quite a good free hand.
Mm. And it's also, I think, it's fascinating to find there's so much going on in Norfolk that we wouldn't
have
viewed.
Yes. So, I mean, Norfolk is very good with lots of different exhibitions at museums, the theatre. We have lots of historical places of interest. And there seems to be a lot going on in cultural departments in local authorities. There's always something going on with redesigning streets or roadworks or some building works going on somewhere. So there's always something to find of interest to people.
And you've also, well, you've been with Vision for a very long time and had many roles with Vision too.
Absolutely, yes. I've worked for Vision Norfolk, as we're now called, for it'll be 28 years come January. So during that time, I spent the first 14 years working in the Equipment Centre. And as listeners will probably know, I now organise the leisure activities and also coordinate the telephone befriending service. So it's quite a busy role. It's a job which, you know, is quite varied and quite diverse. And in my work, I obviously do meet lots of people, and that's given me some ideas and sparked some thoughts for the Chat Around magazine. So it's been quite useful to have those sort of contacts in my work professionally, as well as for Chatterbox.
What made you leave and then rejoin?
Well, at the time, there was a job going for an activities coordinator, and when I was working in the Equipment Centre, we started the gardening group. We'd got some funding from an organisation called Thrive, and in order to develop my interest with activities, it was kind of like a natural progression, if you like. I'd sort of worked with the Equipment Centre for 14 years, and at the time my vision had failed completely, so I had no sight at all. So some of the working with magnifiers was becoming a little bit more challenging and a bit more difficult. So organising activities, I found a bit more of an easier role to adapt to with complete sight loss. Mm-hmm. And it was an opportunity really for me to develop the gardening group, whereas working in the Equipment Centre, there wasn't so much of an opportunity for me to develop activities like I wanted to.
So the gardening activities were the first of the activities developed by then, it was the NNAB,
yes, that's right, yes.
Was that the first and only activity that they offered initially?
No, I'd taken over the role of activities coordinator from another gentleman called Rob, who'd been running, I think, three audio book clubs and a creative writing group for about 3 years. So the range of activities wasn't quite so great as it is now. But we've had an opportunity as a full-time activities coordinator to develop the range of audiobook clubs and to set up a theatre group, and also set up a heritage group. We've had photography groups, we've got had discussion groups, we have arts and craft groups. So it's just been an opportunity to kind of build and extend on what had already been started. And it's been quite a challenge, obviously, keeping things going over the pandemic, because obviously we weren't able to meet up face to face. So some activities had to move on to Zoom, but that does present quite a lot of technical difficulties for a lot of people, and mm-hmm. not everyone wanted to do that. So we were able to adapt and move some things over the phone. So we would connect up over Zoom on the phone, but not everyone was always that comfortable with doing that.
Do you feel it's got back to normal now?
Pretty much so, yes. Some people haven't quite come back to all the activities in the same numbers, but the opportunities are still there for people to come and take part in activities. And certainly the number of audio described performances at the Theatre Royal is more shows than I can manage to take groups to. So, you know, some things are getting back to normal. And if anything, such as the Theatre Royal, the number of audio described performances have increased than it was before COVID. So, you know, there are some good things that have come out of it. We have lost, sadly, one or two volunteers, but we are always recruiting new volunteers. The number of people wanting the telephone befrienders, as you'd expect, has increased quite a lot. So I'm now up to nearly about 75 people having a telephone befriender every week.
Gosh.
So that number's increased quite a bit. And I've now got 14 volunteers, mm-hmm. whereas previously we'd only had about 8 or 9 volunteers in the service. So, you know, some things have developed a bit more, whereas other things have sort of shrunk a bit more. So, you know, you really kind of have to respond to what people want.
Mm. Any other activities in the offing?
Yes, we've got quite an active programme next year for the theatre group. So we're going to see The Girl from the North Country. We're going to see a Shakespeare play, Julius Caesar. We've booked some tickets to see Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. that's quite a good one. I think Annie is coming back as a musical next August. They're also doing a stage production of Titanic. I can't quite work out how that's going to work on stage. But anyway, that'll be an interesting one to see.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got the usual things with the panto in January. And we're also taking a group to see Agatha Christie's The Mousetrap play. So I'm looking forward to that. We've also been very fortunate that we've had some funding recently from the Norfolk Community Foundation. And we're going to be taking an option of having some training with an organisation called Thrive. They're a specialist therapeutic horticultural organisation, and we're going to be running some gardening workshops in the spring next year. So hopefully giving people some hints and tips on how they can carry on gardening with sight loss.
Mm.
So that's something that's coming up. We've also got in March, one of the museum staff, Bethan Holdridge, she's going to be taking us on a tour of Strangers Hall, where we're going to be having a medieval dining experience.
Oh, wonderful.
So that's something quite to look forward to. And there'll be lots more activities coming up. There's still lots of more things still in the pipeline.
Mm. Mark, thank you so much for taking the time today to talk to us about your experiences with Chatterround and your work up to date, and hopefully we can have another interview in 25 years' time. And goodness knows what we'll be using by then.
I know, it does make you wonder where the technology is going to go.
Absolutely, but thank you.
Thank you, Carolyn.
Carolyn was talking to Mark Smith.